We're moving in Hebrews into chapter 13. And I want to read a few verses in chapter 13 to begin with and concentrate or use as our point of departure verse 1. But in Hebrews 13, verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We have an exhortation in verse 1 to let brotherly love continue. It really doesn't emphasize the tense of the verb continue in this passage. It's a command. It's an imperative, and it's in the present tense. Let brotherly love continue. Command. Brotherly love needs to continue because of bonds. Verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds, that are in trouble. Paul was one that was in trouble because he was a brother preaching the message that brethren enjoy listening to. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. In other words, when a tooth aches, it's not just the tooth that's bothered. At least it's my experience. If I've got a toothache, my toes feel it. So we need to relate to each other. When one hurts, how many should hurt? All. And that's what brotherly love is dealing with. The word continue carries the idea that is found in John 1:38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? Where do you abide?" And when we are involved in brotherly love, we're to be living there. The word continue and the word dwellest are the same Greek word. Brotherly love is a place where we need to be living our daily life. We need to be concerned for each other daily. Now, I think that we need to define who a brother is. I am not persuaded that every child of God is a brother. Because you can be a child of God and never suffer adversity. You can be saved and never persecuted. And the way you get out of that is simply the same way that Peter got out of it when he was following the Lord afar off. You can be a child of God and follow God afar, or follow the Lord afar off, and curse when you need to, and deny you know Him when you need to, and run when you need to. Because Peter was afraid he would be crucified or he would be in trouble. So you can be saved and not experience trouble. Matthew 12:50 tells us, by definition, who the Lord's brother, or who His brother is. "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." A brother is one who is interested in doing the will of the Father. And it's a unique will. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." A brother is one who wants to do the will of the Father, that he might enter into the kingdom of heaven and not just see the kingdom. There are many in the family of God who are satisfied that they're saved. They're not interested in ruling and reigning with Christ. They're not interested in entering into the kingdom of the heavens. They're glad that they have escaped the fiery lake of hell, and that's all they want. A brother wants more than just simply a fire insurance policy, so to speak, and not spend eternity in the lake of fire. In Luke 8:21, it tells us, "And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." The phrase, "the word of God," is significant. It's not just simply everything in the Bible. This, the Bible, is referred to, I believe, as Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for whatever, you know, whatever a child of God needs to help him. But the Word of God is different. And we find that defined in Luke 8:11. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God." Luke 8 deals with the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is a message pertaining to the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. In fact, in verse 10, "And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Brethren are those who love the Word of God. They love to hear the message of the kingdom and the hope that is given in that message. And they not only hear the Word of God, which pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but they are obedient to it. They do it. They know and they find out what the will of the Father is, and they do it. These are known as brethren. 1 Thessalonians 1:4. "Knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God." The elect are brethren. The chosen are brethren. Now, so I wanted to define what brotherly love involves. It's people who know kingdom truth that need to have love extended to them, because when you start teaching kingdom truth, you're in trouble in some circles, okay? You are rejected. You are denied access to people. You know, in other words, they don't want you around. They will exclude you. Now, in 1 Peter 1, we have something interesting pertaining to loving the brethren. Verse 21 in 1 Peter 1 says, By him, that is Jesus Christ, do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls, or your life, same, that word is translated the same way, souls and life, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. love of the brethren is to be associated with purifying our lives. Abiding in brotherly love has to do with having a clean life, a purified life. It's associated with the hope. But it goes on further. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by what? By the Word of God. Brethren, loving brethren, helps to purify your life. Helps you to live a godly life. It encourages your hope of glory, which God gave Jesus Christ. And the brethren are those who have been begotten again, a new beginning. Now this isn't salvation. This isn't salvation. This is talking about the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. This is talking about children of God who have been given a new beginning unto a living hope of ruling and reigning with Christ. When you're saved, that's a new beginning. When you see the light of the coming kingdom, you've been given another new beginning. And it has to do with ruling and reigning. So, being begotten again, by what? The Word of God. The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, loving the brethren is a command. This is part of the law. A commandment is something to be obeyed. The law is something to be obeyed. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 tells us, if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. This is a command. This is not an option for brethren, so to speak. There are oftentimes we say we love God, but we don't treat our brother right. You know? And we'll see some definitions of what it means to treat a brother right in a few minutes. But if you hate your brother, you're a liar. Because how can you say you love your brother how can you say that you love if you don't love your brother whom you can see, how can you say you love God whom you haven't seen? That's what this verse is saying. Now, what is the significance of loving a brother? Well, a brother, I think, is one who suffers trouble. Let's just read in Hebrews chapter 11, 36 through 38. This gives us an idea of what brethren we're talking about, okay? These guys are not popular guys. They're not real neat. They're not the top of the class, so to speak. They're not most likely to succeed, you know what I mean? In verse 36 it says, and others had trials of cruel mockings, and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Now I need to love these people. Okay? I need to care about these people. These are my brethren. And I'm associating them with brethren because of Hebrews chapter 11. These are men of faith. These are men who are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. These people are looking to enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Verse 37. They were stoned. They were cut in two. Sawn asunder, that means to be cut in two. Were tempted or tested. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. Being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. These are the people that I need to live with in caring for them. I need to abide with them. I need to associate with them. I need to suffer what they suffer because I associate with them. These are teeth that are hurting. These are toes in the body that have been stumped. These are legs that have been amputated, so to speak. We are to relate to them in hurting with them. So brethren, in trial are those that we need to associate ourselves with. And we will not win the popularity contest either. That's the point. We won't either. We will. In fact, Paul says about Onesiphorus in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 15 through 18. Something that we need to relate to. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia have turned away from me. Was Paul very popular? Can you imagine? All the people that you poured in your time, your effort of ministry to, and they responded, and the next thing they know, they say, Paul who? Where? All Asia forsook him. You think he was lonely? Well, he was in jail and nobody was caring about him. Of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes? The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. He oft refreshed me. Could Onesiphorus been thrown in jail because he came and gave Paul refreshment of food, water, bar soap, whatever Paul needed? Sure, Onesiphorus could have suffered consequences by association with Paul. But he was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Now that is brotherly love. You don't know where he is? You ask people where this guy Paul is. And you know what? When you start talking about a man as notorious as Paul and asking where he is, they're going to be standing around saying, are you one of them too? It's like me, you need to be where Paul is. And he's down at the local jail. Well, anyway, and it says in verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. That expression, in that day, is an expression of the judgment seat of Christ. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Here is a man who was not afraid of suffering with Paul. Now, Onesiphorus did not talk about how much he loved Paul. Oh, I love Paul. I love to hear him preach. I just love his Bible lessons. He wasn't talking about how much he loved Paul. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18, it tells us, but whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I would say, how dwelleth the love of God for God is in him. It's in the genitive case, but the point is this. How can you love God, whom you can't see, and you don't minister to a man you do see, who's a brother, who loves kingdom truth? Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It means to act upon it. And in truth means of being obedient to the commandment. I just think about the illustration or the example of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He didn't talk about it. He didn't talk about how much he loved the world and, oh, I'm just so sorry that they're in sin and they can't, you know, just going to have to throw them in hell. Tough. No. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's acts. That's deeds. He didn't talk about it. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. You know, 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Did you know you can't do that and hate your brother too? Impossible. You need to love your brother. You need to care for your brother in the Lord. And here it says, if you love your brother, you're going to abide in the light. You're going to stay faithful to the Word of God, to the kingdom message. And you're not going to fall down. You're not going to stumble. You're going to make your calling and election sure, which we will see in just a moment. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Your Bible study is a waste of time if you hate your brother. You're not going to get anything out of it. You may get something, but you know what I'm saying. You know, I just can't read my Bible in the dark. And that's what it and that's what the way it is. If you hate your brother, you're just trying to read the Bible at midnight, at when the sun's not, you know, at the equator when the sun is obviously not up. But anyway, you're in darkness, and you'll walk in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, what's going to happen? You're going to stumble over something. You're going to fall down. You don't know where you're going, because the darkness has blinded your eyes. Now, relationship of brethren. We know that in 1 John 3, it talks about Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel because the Lord had respect unto Abel. When you start talking about a desire to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom, and these are the things that I'm doing to prepare to rule and reign with Him, I'm interested in doing the will of the Father. You know what people think? They start thinking things that are of you that are not very pleasant. Oh, I serve God because I love Him. Well, I do too. But because I love God, I have deeds. And I am anticipating rewards. I will be recompensed for faithfulness to Him. Well, they put you down because, oh, I don't serve God for that reason. I don't know if you've ever had people make you feel like an egg-sucking dog because you're trying to do what God wants you to do for rewards, but I have. So, Cain didn't like what Abel did and how God responded to Abel. And so he slew him. Verse 12. Because his own works were evil and his brother's was righteous. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. This death here is Thanatos death. This has to do with perishing. If you're loving the brethren, you know that you have passed out of Thanatos death, that is, rejection from ruling and reigning, demotion in the kingdom, from being a sovereign to a subject. That's what this is dealing with. This is not talking about going to hell. It says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer hath age-lasting life. What is age-lasting life? That's life in the kingdom. Now, a murderer can be saved. But if a person hates his brother, that is, one who is seeking to rule and reign with Christ, he cannot have life for the coming age. He can be saved. I mean, he would be saved because he's a brother. But he will lose a life of honor and glory in the coming kingdom. Verse 16, indifference. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? That's, you know, when you shut up, when you ignore a brother's needs, you're indifferent. And the Lord's calling us to task for that. If we do that, if we see a brother in need and we turn away from him, we're not laying down our life for him. And that doesn't please the Lord. That puts us in darkness, basically speaking. He continues, we need to have compassion. My little children, let us love in word, not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. When we're ministering to the brethren, we are being ministered to. We are being assured that we are preparing ourselves for ruling and reigning in the coming kingdom. Now, what does it mean to minister? What happens or what's going on when you are ministering to a brother? Well, I think the best illustration of that, an example of that, is in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat, or food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. Notice that all you have to do is visit. You don't have to heal them. Just visit them. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? Or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. When you minister to the brethren, you know who you're ministering to? Jesus Christ. When you go to see someone who's sick, who are you going to see? Well, you're going to see somebody that's got a name that's living here on the earth, but you're actually ministering to the Lord. And I assure you that if I were to tell you that Jesus Christ was down on the corner, and we'll be on the corner at 1 o'clock today, where would we be? We'd be down on the corner, wouldn't we? I would. If I knew he was going to be on the corner down there, and there was nothing wrong with him or anything like that, he's just going to be down on the corner, I'd be down on the corner, finding out if there's anything I could do, or I just want to be with him, you know? Well, the least of these my brethren. Well, I read the least of these my brethren in Hebrews chapter 11. Sheepskin. Living in a cave. Whatever. Now, we are exhorted in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10, as touching brotherly love. He says, We beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. You know what that implies? You never do love enough. You can always ratchet it up a notch or two. And so we need to increase in brotherly love. And if we increase in brotherly love, what are we doing? We're adding to our ability to be fruitful in the deeper knowledge of the Word of God. Let me read it. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Notice that faith comes first, and all of these things are being added to faith. It means that, hey, I'm pleasing God already, but I need to add to my faith virtue or a spiritual value or well, it doesn't come to my mind right now, but virtue having to do with piety, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance or self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness the same word, brotherly kindness is the word brotherly love. Same word we've been reading in Hebrews 13:1. Brotherly love. And if I add to my faith brotherly love, and to brotherly love charity, it says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the deeper knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know the, you want to be, have fruit and abound in the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens? If you minister to the brethren, God's going to give you that blessing. If you don't have a time for the brethren, you lose a blessing of growing in the deeper truths of the Word of God. It's a hindrance. And we need to know that. We need to be assured of that. So, the word knowledge is epinosis, meaning knowledge upon knowledge, deeper knowledge. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore the brethren, notice he's talking to brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, what things? Adding to your faith that list of things. If you do these things, ye shall never, what? Stumble. The word fall can be translated stumble. If you do these things, you're going to be walking in the what? The light. If you do these things, you're not going to be in darkness. You're not going to fall in a pit. You're not going to stumble over your brother because you didn't see him. You know, that type of thing. Anyway, for so an entrance shall be ministered to unto you abundantly in the age-lasting kingdom. The word everlasting is age-lasting. It's the adjective of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ministering to the brethren, loving the brethren, will help us to make our calling and election sure, and it will also provide us an abundant entrance into something we'll want in that day. Every child of God's going to want it, but not every child of God's going to enter into it because they didn't do the will of the Father. And part of the will of the Father is ministering to whom? Brethren. And ministering to brethren means that you may suffer loss here on the earth, but you'll gain abundantly in that age to come. Why do I know that? Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You know what? God's not going to forget anything you do for a brother, because He knows that ministering to a brother, you're ministering to Jesus Christ. And I didn't include the verse, and I didn't include this verse, and I didn't look it up. But in Acts, it tells us that Paul and Barnabas and others were teaching the church at Antioch. In fact, I want to read it to you. It's in Acts chapter 13. This is a little extra. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets, teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod in the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord. How did they minister to the Lord? They were teaching the church at Antioch. You know what I've been doing this morning? I've been ministering to the Lord. You know why? Because I've been teaching you the Word of God. I want to be faithful in ministering to the Lord, and I can do that by teaching the Word of God. I can also do that by visiting you wherever you may be in whatever situation. So if you're in the county jail downtown for some reason or another, give me a call. I'll come down. I'll pray with you. And see if I can't get you, help you get out. I know that there was a I'm not trying to brag on myself, but I know there was one fellow that got himself in trouble and there wasn't anything he could do about it. And I told him, just submit to whatever the courts say. And I said, you know you're innocent. And they're just taking somebody's word over yours. And the man was a simple man. So he had to go to the workhouse. But they allowed him to get out so he could work, so he could provide for his family. You know what I was able to do? I was able to go get him and pick him up in the morning and take him to work and get him back to the workhouse until he got out. He only had to spend a week in there. But he got over it and went on with his life. But that's what it means to minister to the needs of others or to brethren. May the Lord help us to walk in the light as He is in light and love the brethren. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Just pray You'd bless the Word to each of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to respond to it as brethren, loving You and ministering to each other. Not being afraid of being hurt or soiled or accused of all kinds of things. Lord, help us to be faithful in ministering to You by ministering to each other. We're thankful, Father, for the promise that You will not forget our ministry to the saints. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.